You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Brian Friel seemed to distill the long and heated conflict between Ireland and Britain in his 1972 play, The Freedom of the City. In it, we follow the fate of three Irish nationalists who have banded together to escape clouds of tear gas. It's being performed in a powerful new revival by the Irish Repertory Theatre, launching its 25th anniversary season. And I'm delighted to be joined now by Cara Seymour, who stars in it as Lily, along with the Rep's producing director, Kieran O'Reilly, and its artistic director, Charlotte Moore. Welcome to our show.
Thank you. Hello.
Thank you.
Now, most people will remember the events of Bloody Sunday when British paratroopers fired on a peaceful civil rights protest in Derry and 14 people were killed. But wasn't Brian Friel already working on this play before then?
Actually, he hadn't been working on this play. He'd been working on a completely different play about based on a book called La Vida, a sociologist, an American sociologist, who was writing a play about a Puerto Rican family in New York versus a Puerto Rican family living there. And he happened to be on the march that day in 1972, and he decided, oh, I can't write about that. I've got to write about what I've just witnessed personally.
So he didn't write about it in the way you might expect. And interestingly, he starts at the end and then goes back to the beginning.
Indeed, yeah. It's everybody knows the fate of how these three people turn out, but at the same time, you seem to be at the very edge of your seat, maybe hoping for a better outcome.
Cara, the three marchers who wind up together are all strangers, and none of them seem to be particularly militant. I might even call them hapless. Aren't they all marching for different reasons?
Yes, they are. My character is marching for a better life for her kids and everything. And then Michael, who's played by James Russell, he's more idealistic and he has a real clear sense of what civil rights is about. And then Skinner, played by Joe Sikora, he's an idealist and a dreamer, and I think he's marching for something, but it's less clear-cut than the Michael character.
And your character, Lily, is a 43-year-old mother of 11.
11, yes. Yeah. Daunting.
But she also is the one who's kind of makes peace between the other two, although in the end she's the one who breaks our hearts.
Oh, yeah, I think, yeah. When I read the play, it was hard not to be heartbroken by this character or just to completely fall in love with her and keep a critical sense of her and not be too, you know, in awe of her. She's got just such a huge heart and she can see a way through. She's used to managing 11 people. Mm-hmm. And this is a mother. And it's just an awesome feat. And
if you've managed 11 kids, you can manage
two guys, no two problem.
Guys who are, yeah. But all three getting rather drunk.
Yeah, and they're great. They're great fun characters. She has a great deal of fun with them in different ways.
They find themselves in the mayor's office where they can invade his liquor cabinet.
Yeah,
because they're kind of protected from the turbulence outside. Can you talk us a bit more about the structure of this play? Because
In simple terms, it is about three people who find refuge in the mayor's parlor, where they run when the tear gas explodes. They find themselves without knowing where they are in the mayor's parlor.
But there's a subplot.
There's an entire subplot on that, is that we know their fate. We know that they all die from the beginning. So there is an inquiry that's into why they died and who shot who and when. And that goes on throughout the play. So the whole play is really about spin. It's about everybody is telling this same story about these three people inside as we're witnessing it ourselves, piece by piece. And everybody is telling, and everybody is getting it wrong.
It allows us to see how wrong history can interpret what actually happened.
In every which way, from a balladeer who's singing about the joys of nationalism and how inspiring these three people are, who are just ordinary people who ran out of the road to get out of the way of the British Army.
And they have no idea what's happening outside either.
They have no idea what's happening outside, and they're inside, and they're three really ordinary people.
And then there is the American sociologist who tells us the three were rebelling against the capitalist society.
That's where that original part of the play that he was originally doing, where he comes in there, that's some of that is just verbatim about that. And it's how he wanted to give a universality to the play, that this play is not just about three people in Northern Ireland. It's about the world. It's about the culture of poverty. It's about people who are marginalized in society. And it can be anywhere. It can be any country. This can happen.
But he didn't set it in the actual Bloody Sunday. That was 72, and the play is set in 1970.
Well, he really wanted to say that this was not a reenactment of Bloody Sunday. He's very careful about that. That this is a story inspired by Bloody Sunday. So he wanted to put that gap there just to really get away from people saying, well, that's not what happened, even though so many things, including the judges' findings, are almost mimic exactly what the judge. It's a fascinating play. When it opened on Broadway in 1974, it closed in two or three performances. The New York Times critic at that time was Clive Barnes, and he said that it was outrageous and ridiculous to
deeply even, British Clive Barnes.
He was very British Clive Barnes. He said it was absolutely ridiculous that the British Army could ever be told that they could behave in such a fashion.
I have to interrupt you and have you tell of the recent development, Ciarán, about the apology from the British government about this day.
Of course. But also, when this play was produced in Ireland, it probably had a better response.
Well,
it did. It was at the time it was right in the height of it.
Yes.
I mean, it was 1973, like a couple of months after the events. I think when Brian Friel, he wrote this play in a couple of weeks. He wrote it in anger. He was in that march, as I said.
Well, the Irish Repertory Theatre has mounted a lot of Friel's plays. But is this one unusual because it is so overtly political?
Oh, I think absolutely. Although Brian Friel is to me extremely nationalistic about Ireland. The last time I was here, we had just done Molly Sweeney. I think we're guests on your program. And we've also done Aristocrats. We've done Dancing at Lunasa. We've done Philadelphia, Here I Come. So we're kind of a Brian Friel loyalist company.
Well, what do you think? What do you feel this figures in his work?
You mean Freedom of the City?
Yeah.
Oh, I think, Ciarán, you have to answer that. I mean, he's just directed this play, and I think I pass the opinion on to him. To me, it has deep meaning.
But it hasn't been produced a lot.
It's a highly political play, and it's a difficult play, but it's a really fun play. It feels that it's so pertinent today because last year, or actually in 2010, the British, after 40 years from the events of Bloody Sunday, the British government finally came around and apologized and recognized the people who died that day were actually innocents.
Cara, was this an event that you thought a lot about before you got involved in this?
Yes, actually, yeah. Well, I grew up in England, and I remember I was very closer to it. And also, when I was at university, I formed a women's theatre company, and we did a play called Now and at the Hour of Our Death about the No Wash protests, and we took it to Derry and about 1990. So, I mean, and that was one of the most incredible moments of theatre I've ever experienced. So I've always felt very inspired to comment on or be part of the discussion about politics in Northern Ireland.
Well, it is different when the audience is familiar with many aspects of the story.
Yeah.
Here, I'm sure most of the audience is kind of learning about it as they watch the play.
Yeah, and I think it's quite shocking as well. I think it's the violent way that people were disenfranchised, I think, is shocking. And I saw recently pictures of Robert Kennedy Jr. assassination, and I thought, wow, that's 1968. I was 4 years old, and they were assassinating people like that. And
he wasn't the only person assassinated.
No, I know.
In those years,
I know, but it was recently just seeing that picture. I mean,
though that was a shocking time. It was a a decade of assassinations, it seemed. My guests are Kara Seymour, who plays Lily in a new production of Brian Friel's The Freedom of the City, now at the Irish Repertory Theatre. Kieran O'Reilly is the Rep's producing director and the director of this play, and Charlotte Moore is its artistic director. We are talking about the 25th anniversary season of the Rep, and you're also producing another play, aren't you? A celebration of Harold Pinter with
Julian
Sands?
Yes, we are, with Julian Sands, who's a very handsome, just a knockout British actor in our studio theater downstairs. We're getting lots of celebs and movie stars.
John Malkovich directed it,
but Julian Sands is the movie star of all movie stars. He really is an attractive and wonderfully talented actor. And he knew Harold Pinter intimately and spoke for Harold Pinter in the last years of Pinter's life, because Pinter was too ill to do it himself. And it's a 90-minute piece of intimacy and talent that's, you know, we've never had anything like that in our studio theater before.
But have you done two plays at the same time in the past?
Well, we have done a play upstairs in the main stage theater, and we've done small productions in the studio theater downstairs. But this one is just a particularly busy time because both shows are sold out.
And this one, A Celebration of Harold Pinter, only runs through November 30th. In the case of The Freedom of the City, it's kind of odd. You're going to be running through November 25th and then have a little hiatus and then resume on January 2nd through the
20th. We are importing Phil Coulter, an Irish well-known, artistic genius from Ireland, and having his Christmas show played during December. And then we're reviving Freedom of the City.
Have you been with the Irish Rep from the start?
Yes, Kieran and I started the Irish Rep 25 years ago, and as Kieran says, we were sentenced to 25 years, and we're waiting for parole. But we're celebrating this year our long involvement with the Irish community and the theatrical community, and we're very proud of our work, what we've done.
Now, Kara, the stage has a weird configuration which forces the actors to play at different angles. Is that something that you had to work out?
Yeah, we have people on the side, and they get things that people at the front don't get. And they get little secrets, little moments that other people may not get. So it's fun that, you know, it's fun to have people close in and feel them, smell them.
And they you.
Charlotte and Sharon, are there certain things you've been most proud of over the years?
There's some shows that I loved. I loved The Emperor Jones from a couple of years ago.
Was that Irish because Eugene O'Neill wrote it?
That's correct.
It's not a particularly Irish play.
It's written by the great Irish-American playwright, Mr. Eugene O'Neill. And we love O'Neill. We've done a lot of O'Neill, almost as much as Friel. And they're great writing.
I've heard that theaters in Ireland keep tabs on what you're doing and will follow up with revivals of plays that you've done here first.
Not as well done, of course.
Of course.
well, we just love to hear that. We love that. That's the way it runs now. If it works in New York, surely it's going to work in Cork.
Do you go back to Ireland much? Accent up?
Yes, I do. My I have a lot of family still over there.
Kara, is it true that you have your own theater company?
I did, yeah. We're not together anymore, but we're still connected. We're all girls that got together at university and wrote plays and produced them. Took them here, actually, to the New York Irish Arts Center many, many years ago.
But you don't write plays anymore?
Nope, just acting.
Uh-huh. That's fulfilling enough. Some people write plays for themselves. Can you imagine doing that?
Maybe, yeah. I think getting a role like this, which is so challenging and so well written, and I mean, that's as sort of inspiring in itself in a way.
And you've been in a bunch of movies.
Yeah, Get About.
Well, people still have an opportunity to see this because, as I said, it runs through November 25th, and then will resume on the January 2nd through the 20th, and then I assume you have something else coming in on the 20th?
We have It's a Wonderful Life is actually following Julian Sands. A radio version of It's a Wonderful Life is going on in the Studio Theatre, and that's from December 5th through the December 30th.
I'm doing it in period. Everything's in period. All the entire adaptation and all the surround will be in 1946.
Mm-hmm. The microphones.
Yes, everything.
The Irish Repertory Theatre is at 132 West 22nd Street. For ticket information, you can go to our show page at WNYC.org. And my great thanks to Charlotte Moore, Kieran O'Reilly, and Kara Seymour for being on our show today.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.